Good morning, everybody. I'm Pastor Dwayne McKinney, and welcome to Encounter Life Church. And let me say Merry Christmas to all of you. Here we are, the Sunday before we celebrate the birth of our Savior, and we are excited as we are in this Advent season. And I pray that God has shown himself strong to you in your life. This is a different Christmas. You know, last Christmas, we had no idea that a year later we would be in the face of a global pandemic where people cannot be with their families like they'd like to. And we pray that you're continuing to be safe here at Encounter Life. We're laboring to be able to try to keep all of our members safe. So we're just so glad that you've been able to join us online. God has been good to us over this fall, and he's given us amazing weather. Last Sunday, we were in the mid-60s, so we were able to worship here on campus outdoors. So if those of you who've been out to our outdoor, our drive-in worship experience, we pray that you've been blessed by that and been encouraged by that. And listen, as the weather continues to permit us to do that, our 11 o'clock, at 11 o'clock, we still do have drive-in worship as well. I praise God for our audiovisual team. They make it like a drive-in movie, man. If you want to come at 11 a.m. on the campus, you can drive up and tune right in to FM 90.5 and hear what's going on as well when it gets to, you know, be really chilly. So when it's chilly outside, but if we got some good sunshine, we still might be outdoors. And so we'll keep you posted when those drive-in services are coming. But today, we're just glad to have you here with us online. We praise God. I don't take lightly those of you who have supported with your resources what we're doing here at Encounter Lives Church. Let me just be the first to say thank you. Thank you so much for your liberal giving and just believing in what God is doing here and this allowing us to still continue to do what we do, continuing to serve the community and reach those who are in need, but also continuing to get out the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. Because right now we're in a time, the solution to all of our problems, you know what, is in Jesus Christ. I mean, the source of all of our issues is this three-letter word called sin, and Jesus came to pay that price. So we praise God that we have the opportunity to proclaim that good news to the world. If this is your first time joining us at Encounter Life, I'd love to connect with you, and we want to give you a special gift. Again, you know, we got a gift that we want to send to you digitally, a digital gift card we want to send to you to thank you for worshiping with us. So if you are a guest at Encounter Life Church, this is your first time, do me a favor. Just text the word new, that's N-E-W, to 301-804-2520. Or you can go right on our website, encounterchurch.net/next, fill out our connection form. It's a little contact form right there. We just want to know who you are and let you know we're thankful that you chose to worship with us, and just send you just a token of gratitude to let you know we're thankful for you. We are in the middle of our series we call Hope for the Holidays. And Lord knows we need some hope during this time in which we're in. We praise God for the news that is coming for a vaccine. But there's a lot of things that are going on right now in our world that have not, like never before. But the holidays by themselves, just during normal years, sometimes the holidays can be hard. You know, those of you who are listening to me can testify, some of you, that holidays remind us of loved ones that we've lost. Holidays sometimes can be hard for us because of, you know, sometimes everybody's buying gifts and I may not have the resources. Right now, there are people who've lost jobs. And I just want to encourage you to, you know what, God is able to, he said he'll able to supply all of your needs according to his riches. Listen, go put your faith and trust in him, and you can have hope in him. And we talked about him being the gift of hope during this season. In our first week, we said Jesus Christ, he's the gift of hope. And that child that was born, he's a wonderful counselor. Listen, he's a mighty God, an everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And in him, we can find hope. And then last week, we talked about that gift of hope. Now God is looking for us to be carriers of that message. But there's got to be some certain characteristics that we have so that we can qualify to be peoples to carry that, to that God can use us. He wants to use you mightily in this season to bring hope to people. He used a little teenage girl. She's about 16 years old, about over 2,000 years ago. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was because she had a certain character. And God wants that character to be in us. Today, we're going to be continuing in our series, Hope for the Holidays. But before we do that, can we pray? Dear God, Heavenly Father, I'm thankful. Thankful that we can have hope in you, that we have hope in you. Lord God, hope, Lord, of eternal life, but also hope to know that as our wonderful counselor there, that Lord God, that we can expect you to hear us. We can expect you to hold us and help guide us in our time of need. Lord God, as our mighty God, that we can expect that you will help us to overcome every obstacle in our life. And as our everlasting Father, that to know that you will be there to provide for us and protect us as well. And God, as the Prince of Peace, to know that we have eternal peace. What an amazing hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And I pray for someone today who's watching me, God, who is feeling kind of hopeless. I pray that they come to know you and know the love that you have for them and understand that, Lord, that you made them to love them and have a desire, a relationship with them. I pray, Lord, for all those who are watching right now who are experiencing rough times in their finances, Lord, and their Lord God, there are people who've lost jobs and are in great need. Lord, I pray that you will show yourself to be that provider for them in the name of Jesus. And even in the midst of lack, and even in the midst of the turmoil in their life, God, that you will speak peace to them, that you will show yourself to them like never before during this season, like you have the church, God. I pray that we will rise up and be that beacon of light in this dark world to draw men to you. So God, I praise you. We give you glory and honor. We thank you for being patient with us. Now speak to our hearts from your word today. God, we pray not for more information. I pray that this word that goes forth is not just more information, but you bring about transformation. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we're going back to the book of Luke, and we're going to look at Luke chapter 2. And we're going to see in the story of the birth of our Savior this Christmas season, as we look at how we have hope for the holidays, we're coming from a title, The Shepherds and the Savior. The Shepherds and the Savior. You know, those shepherds on that blessed night that saw the angels, there's some amazing lessons that we can learn in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20 that we're going to look at. You know, I don't know about you, but if you've ever been on your job, I know on my job, sometimes I felt like just bored on your job. Anybody ever felt like, you know, you got a career, you've been in this career and it just seems like it's just drudgery, you know, like the daily grind, like, God, this is all there is. And you just kind of go back and forth to work every day and going through the motions. And, you know, I could imagine the shepherds in Luke chapter 2 are kind of like that. You know, that wasn't the greatest job in the world at the time. But I'm here to tell you right now that God is calling us. He's got a special lesson that he wants to teach us in these shepherds who had a job that everybody may not have liked. You know, a job that was not looked highly favored upon at the time. And they may have felt like they were outcasts. I'm here to tell you, you may feel like you're an outcast. You may feel like on the outside. You may feel like you're just kind of spinning your wheels on this job that you have in, that you're in right now, in this station that you are in life. You may be not happy with where the station you are in life. I'm here to tell you that God's got purpose for you, and he's got an amazing thing that he wants to do, and it's all found here in this story, in the Christmas story that I want us to share, look at as we look at the shepherds and the Savior. In Luke chapter 2, look at verse 1. It says, at the time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. and you will recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. So last week we looked at the story of Mary, at this amazing young teenage girl whose heart was ready and sensitive to hear from God. And we said, if we want to be used by God, we want God to use us, we got to be sensitive to hear his voice. And we also said we had to have a spirit of humility, and then we have to have a heart of a servant. That's what Mary was like. And we look here, that young lady who's now with child, last week we looked at how the angel came to her and told her she was going to bear the Messiah. And now that Messiah is in her womb. And here she is, and her husband that she's espoused to, her fiance, they haven't even finalized the whole deal yet. And now they're on their way to Bethlehem for the census. And the amazing thing, I love when you look at the scripture, this all was foretold. If you look in your Bible in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, Micah 5, 2, listen, hundreds of years before the Messiah ever came, in Micah, he told us that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem. I love how God orchestrates the circumstances, and he always fulfills his word. And so here they are. They're here on their way, and they get to Bethlehem. Joseph and his wife are there, and they get to Bethlehem, and she's pregnant. Ladies, can you imagine what it'd be like traveling? Look, it's not fun to travel pregnant now. It's not fun to travel pregnant when you got to drive or if you got to be in a plane. I remember traveling when my wife was pregnant or traveling with small children. It's a challenge, but can you imagine traveling in Bible times? You on the back of a donkey and she's pregnant. That's not a comfortable ride. And so they get there and they travel from Nazareth up to Judea to Bethlehem, and they get there and they travel. And when they get there, they can't find no place to stay. I mean, it was a rough night. In the passage, it says, that she gave birth to her firstborn, and why does she have to give him? She would wrap him in laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. The NIV said there was no room for them in the inn. And can you imagine being that innkeeper? He had no idea. He had no idea who was at his door, knocking at his door, seeking for a room. And I'm here to tell you, this is just an aside. This is just a little extra. You know, sometimes it kind of reminds me that do you have room for Christ in your life? That innkeeper, there was no room for Jesus. And today there's still some folks who, you know what, they kind of relegated Jesus to the outskirts of their life because they got other things that are crowding him out. I pray today that you make room, for the Messiah. And after he was born, if we look here, it says in verse 8, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. You know, there's amazing lessons that we can learn from the shepherds. Do you know, God, I mean, as I thought about the shepherds, I thought about myself as a person who works a regular job. These guys had a task of guarding sheep and raising sheep. And the job of a shepherd, shepherds were actually social and religious outcasts at the time. They were socially and religious outcasts. Why? Because of the nature of their job kept them ceremonially unclean. They could not, and their work made them ceremonially unclean, and it kept them away from the temple for weeks at a time so that they could not even go through the ritual to make them clean. So they were outcasts at the time. And here these guys are with a job that a lot of people didn't like, people looked down upon, and they're just out in the fields and doing their regular routine. And I'm telling you, they were about to have the experience of their lives. And I'm here to tell you, just like these shepherds were outcasts and were religious and social outcasts, there's some lessons. There are four lessons that we're going to learn from the shepherd that I pray that you apply to your life as we talk about the shepherds and the Savior today. These shepherds were social and religious outcasts. And one thing that I recognize by how these angels came to these shepherds is one lesson. The first thing that I want you to know today, if you're watching me, is that God's grace reaches you in the darkest and most distant places. God's grace will reach you in the darkest and most distant places. Look at what it says. It says that night, at nighttime, where the shepherds were staying, where? Out in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. The shepherds had to be away from everybody guarding sheep. And also, it was at nighttime. And that's the time when the angel showed up with this good tidings of great joy. And I'm here to tell you right now, just like those shepherds were religious outcasts, were social outcasts, that they were distant from society and they were in a dark place. Somebody's watching me this morning. You might feel distant from everybody and you might feel like you're in a dark place. But I'm here to tell you, you're never too far from God's grace. Isn't that an awesome thing to know? Look, COVID-19 has made us be distant. Has made us have distance from one another. We have to be socially distant. Isn't that amazing that right now we're in a time where all of us are asked to be socially distant, and the pain that it causes us shows us that we are social creatures. We're made to be in relationship. But there's some of us who feel distant from other people because of some things in your life. You just feel by some of us who, somebody's watching me today, felt distant before even a pandemic came. You just felt all alone, like nobody understood you, like no, that you didn't have anybody who really, really cared about you, and you feel distant, or you're in a dark place in your life. And I'm here to tell you, sometimes that's the place where God shows up to speak to you. These shepherds, they were social outcasts, religious outcasts. Say they've been so away from home so far, their job kept them unclean, ceremonial unclean, kept them away so long that they couldn't even get clean. And you know what's an amazing thing? What were they charged with doing? Watching, keeping watch over the sheep. And the sheep were the ones, listen, these sheep were the ones that were used as sacrifices. These ones are the ones that are used as sacrifices, representing that one that would pay for their sin. And they were out there and they could not even get themselves clean. They were at a distance. And I'm here to tell you, that's when Christ came. He comes to you when you feel like you're at a distance. At your most darkest place, you're never out of reach of God's grace. I didn't plan to rhyme that, but at your most darkest place, you're not out of reach for God's grace. That's where he comes to you. And that's what picture of when these angels showed up at that time of night. Look at what it says right here, verse 8, verse 9. That night where the shepherds were staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." I'm here to tell you, God reaches you in that dark place, but I love it because God chooses the foolishest things of the world to confound the wise. See, God, I believe he purposely chose to have the angels come and announce his coming to people that everybody else looked down upon. And I'm here to say that to encourage you that God has a plan for your life, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you've done. God wants to speak to you and use you. He can still use you no matter where you are in your whatever station you are in your life. God intentionally, I believe, showed up and gave this magnificent display to people that everybody else has set aside. Why? Because guess what? I told you last week, he said, well, in order for God to use you, you got to put your pride on the shelf. It requires humility. These guys had a humble position out there in the fields watching over the sheep. And that's what God reaches you. And you know what? God also has to sometimes get us to a quiet place. You notice where he comes to them? They give him watching sheep at nighttime out in the fields. You know, sometimes God puts you in that distant place in space so he can remove all the noise so he can speak to you. You know, I said earlier that the innkeeper, that inn, I mean, the Bible doesn't give a name for the innkeeper, but there was no room for Jesus in the inn because it was too crowded, so he had to be born in a manger. And sometimes our lives get so crowded that we can't hear the Savior trying to speak to us. We can't hear all that God wants to say to us. So he has to put it aside and get us out in the field, get us out in the distance in the middle of the night so he can speak clearly to you. That's what he wants to do to you today. My first point to let you know is that God's grace reaches us in the most dark and distant places today. Grace, what is grace? Grace is God's undeserved favor. Yep. His undeserved favor. Look at what the verse says. He said, look, and glory to God in the highest, verse 14, and on earth, peace to those with whom God is pleased, on those with whom his favor rests. God's favor is resting on people who don't deserve it, and he showed it by coming to the shepherds. First thing that you got to know is God's grace can reach you in a deep and dark place. But the second thing that you got to see as we look at these shepherds, second lesson that we learn from the shepherds is that God reveals himself to those who run after him. Yep. God reveals himself to those who run after him and who seek him. Look at what happens after the angels left. Verse 15 says, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. So what happened? They got the story. God's grace reached them right where they are in that distant place. And now what did they do? Now that he has revealed that this is what has happened, we need to go run after him. And God is looking for some people that will run after him, who will earnestly seek his face. And what God will do, we talked about Mary last week, to have a heart that is sensitive and receptive to hearing from God. But God is looking for people who are God chasers. Do you run after his presence? Do you desire to see his face? The shepherds, when they heard about the message of the Christ child, the Savior who had come to bring peace, they ran after him. You got to passionately pursue the presence of our Savior. Today, say somebody, you need to come and pursue him today. You need to come to know him for the very first time. But after you've come to accept Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, he wants us to daily run after him. And you know what he promises in his word? For those who are God chasers, those who run after and desire to seek his face. Then what he says in Jeremiah 29 verse 13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That's what God says. When you search for me, when you look for me, you'll find me. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, it is impossible to please God without faith. And anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. When these shepherds got the word that a Savior had come, they ran after him. They passionately pursued his presence. And God's word says that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. What does he reward you with? He rewards you with revealing his presence to you, revealing his face to you. Psalm chapter 27 said, the one thing I desire of the Lord, the one thing that I seek, to dwell in his house and behold and inquire in his temple and behold the beauty of my Savior. Are you running after his face? Are you passionate about pursuing the presence of God? There's so many other things that we run after that are meaningless. But when these people got the word, or what is the message? That the Savior had come, who is Christ the Lord, the one who will save them, the Messiah, the one that they had been looking for, that he was coming. I love it. They earnestly sought him because the angels didn't give an address. They said he's born in Bethlehem. Now, they didn't tell him he was born at 11210 Bethlehem Street. They didn't give him an address. He just said he's in Bethlehem. So these shepherds had to put in some work to find him. And I'm here to tell him, that's what he says, you'll seek me when you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. Earnestly seek him. Press into the presence. Listen, what you got to do, you got to say, God, show me your face. Open the eyes of my heart, God, because I want to see you. I love these shepherds. These shepherds who nobody really cared for, who are out in the distance, who were ostracized, outcast because of their position. They were given some sense of, I don't want to even call it pride, can you imagine how special they felt when the angel chose to speak to us? He came to us. You've given us this message. And so what did they do? We got to go see if it's true. And what God is calling you to do, when he reveals himself to you, you got to go. Listen, you got to run after him. When he speaks, you got to pursue his presence. How do you do that? Number one, you got to get on your knees and ask God, show me your face. How do we passionately pursue him? Prayer, spending that time on your knees. God, I want you to speak to me. Reveal yourself to me. And where does he reveal himself? You know where else? Not only do you pray, but you got to get in his word, y'all. You got to get in his word. You got to spend time on the book. Listen, that he has spoken already. And you got to spend time in the book where he can speak to you. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in his word. Spend time in the presence of his people so that he could speak to you. That's how you passionately pursue the presence of God. You got to seek him. And when he says he rewards those who diligently seek him. That's what these shepherds did. They had no address. They had no idea where in Bethlehem he was. They just knew he was there, and they went knocking. They kept going. Listen, they said, you keep on knocking. You keep on seeking, and you seek, you will find. What do you have to do? Number one, the lesson we learned from the shepherds is that God's grace reaches you in distant and dark places. Second thing we learn about the shepherds is that God reveals himself to those who run after his presence. But the third thing that we see is, once God has revealed himself to you, the third lesson that I get out of these shepherds looking at, that God is calling me now to go relay the good news. Go relay the message of the good news. I got to go tell the story. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. After the shepherds gone, look at verse 16. They hurried to the village, found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. Right after that, verse 17, check it out. It says, after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Do you notice that? After seeing him, they told everyone. And I'm here to tell you, once you have seen him for yourself, now the next step God is telling you, you need to go and tell somebody else this good news. Once you have seen him for yourself, once he's revealed himself to you, do you know the message is so good? The story is so good. The message of salvation and redemption is so good that you can't keep it to yourself. So what they did, they heard, the angel spoke, they went and they saw him. And when God revealed himself to them, they sought after him. When he revealed himself, then he said, you know what? We got to go tell somebody. My question to you now, have you seen him? And if you've seen him, who are you telling? Go tell it on the mountain. Go tell it on your job. Go tell it in your community, in your family. Right now in 2020, as we close 2020, I can see the coming of our Savior. Even so, come Lord Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, if he comes right now or if he comes in 10 years, his coming still is imminent. Nothing else has to happen for our Savior to return. And so what he's calling us to do, the reason why he came, he said, I'm not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. And now he's made us his mouthpiece. Once he's revealed himself to you, God said, look, you see me, now get up and go tell the story. Who are we telling? But God is making it, like I said, he's making his appeal through us. He said, how will they hear without a preacher? And can we go unless we are sent? God is sending us. He's sending you today. Once he's revealed himself to you, he's telling you to go out and relay the good news. What do we learn from the shepherds? There's a couple things. Number one, what we learn from the shepherds is that God's grace reaches you in distant and dark places. No matter where you are and what you've done, you may feel like you're an outcast. You are never too far. You're never out of reach of God's grace. That's what he wants. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Titus chapter 2 says, it has appeared to you. And that grace, what it is? Undeserved favor. You don't have to do anything to earn that favor. It's because God made you to love you. He desires a relationship with you. The shepherds teach us that God's grace can reach you wherever you are in dark and distant places. The shepherds teach us that God reveals himself to those who earnestly and who passionately run after his presence. But once you've seen his face, he said he's a reward of those who diligently seek him. Once you've seen his face, now God is calling you to do what? Go relay the story. Go tell the good news. You know, the statistics tell us that most people who say that they are followers of Christ have never, ever led anyone to Christ themselves. And if the message is so good, then how do I keep it to myself? You know, many of you who are watching me, you may have been in network marketing before, or what they call relationship marketing or direct sales. And the science and the idea behind it is that, you know what? When you experience something that you really enjoy, word of mouth marketing is the best way to sell any product. When I have had a good meal, when I've had a good movie, when I've had something that I really enjoy, you know what I usually do? Go tell my friends. And I'm here to tell you there is nothing, look, my friend, it's bad English, but good theology. There's nothing gooder than a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. There's nothing better to know that all of my sins are forgiven. There is no news that is better to know that, listen, I've got hope, not just in this life, but in the hope in the life to come. There's nothing better to know that his grace, listen, covers all of my sins. That's the best news that you could ever receive. And today, God is calling you, when you've received that good news, when you've been a recipient of that, go tell the story. Because right now, in this season in which we live in, there's so many people who need to hear that hope, have that hope for the holidays. But the final thing, look at the shepherds. I love what they did. Verse 17, ever 18, they said, all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, like, whoa, amazing. But verse 20, go down to verse 20 and see what the shepherds did. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Notice this. They went back where? To their flocks. And what did they do? Glorifying and praising God for all they heard and seen. What's the last point? Give God radical praise and glory in your current calling. Give God radical praise and glory in your current calling. What happened to the shepherds? That angels came. Could you imagine that experience? Angels coming, one angel, and then all of the heavenly hosts. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Listen, all of that, they get that. They get the word that the Savior is born in Bethlehem. They go, they see him just like this angel said. It is just like he said. They saw it, and they guess what did they do? They went and told other people, and where did they go? They didn't say, I quit my job now. I done seen the Messiah. I done seen angels. I quit my job. You know what? They went back to work. But what did they do? Their perspective on their work, it gave their work a renewed meaning. It revived their work. They went back to the flocks and said, they went back to that job where people say you're an outcast, but now I have seen the Messiah. And what did they do when they went back? Gave glory and praise to God. I'm here to tell you what God is calling you to do. Once you have seen him and experience his favor on your life, go tell other people. And now God is calling you to give glory to him, praise him. But where does he want you to do it? In your current calling. Yeah. In your current calling. God just revealed this to me so much this week. For somebody who's watching me right now, you might feel like your calling is so mundane. You don't enjoy your job. You don't enjoy that station in life where you are right now. But God is calling you to bloom where you planted and give him glory where you planted. Why? Because your work is worship. You're raising your children is worship. View it all as an act of worship, and it points glory to God. That's what he's calling you to do. That's what we learned from the shepherds. They went right back to the flock. Well, what did they do while they went back to the flock? They went back to the flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Do you know on the job where you are right now, somebody needs to see somebody glorifying and praising God for all that they have heard and all that they have seen, all of the favor that God has placed on your life, even on that job, wherever it is that you are, even in that context, in that household where he's placed you, where you may feel like this is not an ideal situation, where you don't feel like you've been appreciated by the world at large, but God is telling you, you know what? Give me glory right where you are, right where I planted you. In the current calling and context that you're in, God is calling you to give him glory. The shepherds and the Savior. On that day that started with Mary and Joseph not being able to find room, not being able to find a place to lay their head for the birth of the Christ child. You know, today, my question number one today is, have you made room? Do you have room in your life for the Savior? Have you made room in your life for the Savior? There was no room in the inn. I believe whoever was running that inn, number one, the inn was too crowded. There was not enough room in it. It was too crowded. And number two, he might have been totally clueless. He probably had no idea that this was the Savior of the world. He had no idea or the Savior of the world was come rapping and knocking on their door looking for a room. And today there's somebody listening to me that your life is too crowded. And you may have been clueless before this morning that he has come, the Messiah has come for you. If your life is too crowded, what is it that's crowding out Christ? If you've never come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you might got a whole lot of other things in your life that you've been depending on. But I'm here to tell you, at the end of life, they're all meaning nothing. It's all vanity. It's all vanity. Solomon told us the only thing that lasts is that relationship with God. The only thing that lasts is the souls of men. And the only way for that to live eternally with God is for you to have all of your sins forgiven. And that's what Christmas is all about. Listen, it's not about the gifts under the tree. It's not about the white Christmas. It's not about the winter wonderland. It's all about the Messiah, the Lamb who came. Slain before the foundation of the world. That one that came that night that could not find a room. He came to save you from your sins. Will you make room for him? Will you move out all of the stuff out of the way to make room for the Savior? Today, if you've accepted Christ as Lord of your life, have you relegated? Listen, Jesus had a place to stay, but he was relegated to a place that was not fit for a king. Have you compartmentalized Jesus to a space in your heart and life that's not really fit for the king? Where does the king deserve to sit? He deserved to sit on the throne of your life, and today he wants to come and sit on the throne of your life. He wants to sit on the throne of your life. He wants to be the divine shot caller. And the reason why is you should allow him do it because he loves you. He made you to love you, and he's got a plan for your life. When you follow that plan, that first thing, when you come to understand and admit to God that you are separated from him by your sins and come to know him as your Lord and Savior, when you come to recognize that you would listen, no matter what you've done in your life, he loves you and his grace will cover it. Listen, his grace comes is that undeserved favor that we didn't earn. And it'll reach you right in your deepest and your darkest place. It'll reach you when you feel like you're distant from God. That's what we all were distant from God. Did you know that? We're born at a distance because of our sin. And that's why the Savior had to come. I believe that's why he chose to come to the shepherds that day. Because they were out in the distance. They represent all of us who are separated from God because of our sins. Today, his grace has come to reach you right where you are. Will you accept that gift? During this holiday, during this time where we celebrate Christmas, where the world has it twisted, we want you to receive God's unspeakable gift, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ. How does that happen? Number one, you have to first admit to God that you've been separated from him by your sins. And you, because the Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's what it says in Romans 3:23. But after you've made that acknowledgement, that admit to God, yes, I'm a sinner, you also have to understand that that sin is, it's not just that I'm a sinner separated from God, that there is a payment, there's consequences. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. That's eternal separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the first thing for you to move from being distant to God to being in relationship with God, number one, A, you have to admit to God that you're separated from him by your sins. Number two, B, you must believe that Jesus Christ came, that he was born of a virgin, as we talked about today, that he lived, that he died on the cross, he shed his blood, he was buried, and he rose again to make you right with God. That's the second thing. And C, you must make the choice to invite him into your life, forgive you of all of your sins, and make you who he wants you to be. If you do that, you make that decision today to accept Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. He said, I will give you eternal life and you'll never perish. I believe that there's somebody today. I told you God reward those who seek him. I believe there's somebody watching me today who has been seeking. You didn't know what you're looking for, but you knew that there is more to life than this. And you've been searching for answers. And today God is coming to tell you. He's using me to tell you that Jesus is the answer that you've been seeking for. And I told you earlier what he does. He'll reveal himself. Today you've been seeking. And he said, well, you found it. I'm here. All you got to do is admit, believe, and confess to me, and I'll give you eternal life. If you're here and you want to make that decision to make Christ Lord of your life, I want to pray a very simple prayer of invitation for you to invite him in as Savior and Lord. And you can pray this right after me, right where you are. Say, I want all of my sins forgiven. I want to be able to have purpose in life. This is what God wants you to do. Number one, just take God. Dear God, Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. Today I admit that I have sinned against you. I believe that you sent your son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for me. I believe that he was buried and that he rose again. And I make the choice to invite you into my life. Forgive me of all of my sins. Make me who you want me to be. Be Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you made that decision, look, you know what? You met the Savior today. The good, and that Savior is the Good Shepherd. He said, now he will guide you. He'll put your life in line. He'll direct you. He is a good shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for his sheep. And what he wants to do, he wants to direct you. He said, I came that you have a life and have it more abundantly. Not only can you have, do you have eternal life once you accept Christ, but he'll show you what life means to have a purposeful life here on earth. So we want to give you some tools to understand what that is all about. So if you would go to our website at encounterchurch.net/next and let us know, just on that form, put your name and say, I accepted Christ today. Or you can send us a message, a text. If you're somewhere where you're not by a computer, you can just go to 301-804-2520 and text the word next. Text the word N-E-X-T to us, and guess what? Let us know that you've accepted Christ, and we'll send you some information to help you grow in your new relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, final thing, I want to talk to somebody today who's watching me and say, Pastor Dwayne, I've accepted Christ before in my life, but the word spoke to me today. You may have been out here and God is telling you, look, you got his grace reaches in darkest and distant places. Listen, God, there's two types of grace. You got saving grace, but there's common grace as well. There's saving grace. There was somebody today who needed to receive that saving grace to accept Christ. But I'm here to tell you, God's grace, listen, that favor rests on you. Even when you've made a mistake, once you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I thank God for his forgiveness. I thank God for his mercy. I thank God that his mercy is new every morning, and that even though I messed up, his grace still rests on me. Even though I messed up, his love for me has not changed today. You may feel distant. You might feel like you're in a dark place even after you've accepted Christ. I'm here to tell you, you can always come home. You can always come home. And if you want to come home today, listen, he's ready with arms open wide to receive you back home. He's never stopped loving you. He's never loved you less than the first day you gave your life to him. But what he wants you to do, he wants to reveal himself to you. So he wants you to seek, run after him. So today, make that the day where you start running after him so he can reveal himself to you. If you want to recommit your life to running after the presence of God, if you want to recommit your life to walking in obedience to what he's called for you to do in your life, to spending time in prayer in his word and following his word and telling this message to people, if you want to do that, I want to pray with you. Just, dear God, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are watching. Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, for those who say, look, I've stepped away. I've accepted Christ as Lord of my life, but I made some bad decisions. Let them know your grace, Lord God. Let them know your mercy and feel your embrace as they come right back to you today. In Jesus' name, I just want to say this. I want you to say this to God if that's you. You're a Christ follower. You've accepted Christ, but you want to recommit your life today. Just say, dear God, thank you for being patient with me. Forgive me, God, for my disobedience. And today I'm coming home. I want to recommit my life to walking with you. Fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit so that I can obey you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Praise God. We want to know that too. It's so important. Accountability is so important. You need to connect with someone that can help keep you accountable for this commitment that you made. So please let us know about it. Go to our website, encounterchurch.net/next, and let us know you made a commitment to recommit your life to run after the Savior. Let's get out there and tell and spread this good news. And let's represent him. Let's give him glory. Let's give him praise in the context that he's placed you in. Look, that job that you've been in, you may have been feeling dry, mundane. Listen, let your relationship with Christ give you a renewed vigor even in the context that you're in. If you see him, let's give him glory right where we are and watch people be drawn to him. He said, if he be lifted up, listen, if the Son of Man be lifted up, he'll draw all men to himself. Again, the last Sunday, December 20th, Sunday before Christmas, this Friday is Christmas. Let's remember that Jesus is the reason for the season. Man, God bless you. I pray that you're encouraged by God's word and have a wonderful Christmas season. God bless you.